Let me welcome you all along this evening to another choral service. We're glad to see you, and we welcome you in the Saviour's great name. Thank you for coming and for being with us this evening. I'm just going to do the announcements at this stage, and that means then we'll run through the entire programme without stopping or starting. But let me, at this stage, welcome you all again. To those who are visiting with us, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. We're glad to see you in God's house this evening. On Thursday night, there is our standard prayer meeting, Bible study, although this Thursday night will be the form of a deputation meeting at 8 o'clock, and that will be for the Uganda Christian School, the Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda. There will be a report and a video shown of the work there, so come along Thursday evening at 8 o'clock. Then on Saturday morning, that's Christmas morning, once you've got all your presents opened and all the rest of it, come along to church here for our Christmas morning service at 10:15 on Christmas morning. 10:15, it'll be a short service, be informal, and I trust you'll be able to join with us for that special Christmas morning service. And we'll also have an offering after that for the children in Uganda. Then next Sunday, there's no Sunday school or Bible class. It's off now for the next number of weeks, both here and in Hollywood. But we have our time of prayer at 11 a.m., and then a morning worship at 11:30, and our brother Adam Kennedy will be speaking next Sunday morning. And then on Sunday evening, we have special testimony. The Reverend David Crane will be here to testify next Sunday night at 6:30. We plan to keep those meetings short and brief. I know it's a day when you may be entertaining others, but do not forsake the house of God. And we encourage you to come join with us next Sunday for the two services, 11:30 and 6:30, and the times of prayer beforehand as well. There are no services between Christmas and New Year, apart from the New Year's Eve service on Friday the 31st of December at 6:30. So please remember that. Encourage you to join with us as we end the old year in God's house. So the end of year service Friday the 31st at 6:30. There are still a number of these little children's calendars that were given out to the children Tuesday night and also today. If you have children in your home you'd like to pass these on to, please use these, grab a number of them and use as many as you want. Take them and give them out to little ones that you know, maybe in your own family, or perhaps you can give to some others in your neighbourhood or family. Take those with you and use them as you can. Do continue to remember those who are unwell, pray for them. We're glad to see Rosalie back with us tonight. And do remember those who are unwell, pray the Lord will draw near to them at this time. There are no offerings being lifted, but you can put your offerings and tithes in the boxes as you leave. Also, the free will offering envelopes for next year are available. If you haven't got a set, then please see Kyle, take a set with you for the new year, God willing. So, that's all for me for now. I'm going to hand over the rest of the meeting to our brother John Kennedy. He's going to lead the meeting for us tonight. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. We're going to commence tonight by singing the hymn number 79, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, to Bethlehem hasten now with glad accord. We're going to stand as we sing, and when we get the introduction.
Thank you.
At this stage of the meeting, I'm going to ask our brother Kyle Hamilton to come and open the meeting in prayer. Thank you, Kyle. So we'll just bow our heads in prayer and we'll open the meeting tonight. Lord, we thank you that we can come tonight, in a special way to think of the Christmas season, to think of what it really means. And we're drawn as we think, Lord, even of the hymns tonight, O come, let us adore him, that we come tonight to remember that you, the Lord God of heaven, higher than any of us, Lord, you thought on us to send your Son, not just to earth, but to that lowly manger, to be, as we speak of, the servant king sent to earth, Lord, to die for us. And what are we, Lord, to be saved for, Lord? But we thank you that you thought on us. We thank you that you condescended in that way and you sent your Son. May we, in the singing tonight, even in this prayer, in every part of this meeting, may that be central in that wonderful message of the Christmas story. And we thank you, Lord, for our ability to gather together this year, our ability to come and to worship you together. May we ever be thankful for that privilege, even today. As we think of this wonderful message of hope at Christmas time, and we think of those perhaps today who are sick and can't be with us, those who are sorrowing and have lost loved ones, and especially as we think of this Christmas season, sometimes it can be the time when we see that empty chair, we see that that person that we feel their loss more than ever, Lord. But may that message of hope in the Christmas message be peace unto those that need it at this time, Lord. And speak to those who are even watching in tonight, and just be that peace, Lord. Moreover than that, Lord, we just pray for this meeting tonight, that in every part your name will be honored, in every part, Lord, your name will be glorified and lifted up. And we pray for Mary as she brings her testimony, for those who come to open the scriptures and read, and for Reverend Wilson as he comes to bring the message to us tonight. And in the singing as well, may we in every part be drawn, Lord, more towards you. And even now, Lord, as we bow our heads, we just pray for your presence to be with us in the meeting tonight, Lord. And maybe there's a soul in here tonight, Lord, that once walked with you, that once knew that joy of walking in fellowship with you, Lord. Or maybe there's someone here tonight that have never experienced that in their lives. We pray that tonight that gospel message will be clear, it will be plain, and that hearts will be spoken to tonight. Lord, work in a way that only you can. We commit the meeting unto you, for only you, Lord, can do these things. In our worthy Savior's precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Thank you, Kyle. At this point of our meeting, we're going to have some scripture readings. I'm going to ask Kirsten Wilson and Colin Turley, please, to come up to the pulpit now.
Tonight we are reading from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, was not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou art son of David, fear not to take thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, when all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord of the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Matthew's Gospel 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are to come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and all the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, and thy Bethlehem in the land of Judah art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Amen.
Thank you, Kirsten. Thank you, Colin. At this point of our meeting now, our brother Jonathan Logan is going to sing. He sent in a video, so it'll be up on the screen beside us. So our brother Jonathan Logan is going to come and sing now.
Silent night,
this stage of the meeting, we're going to sing another hymn as a congregation. Joy has dawned upon the world. We'll stand again to sing. At this point of our meeting, one of our own in the congregation, our sister Mary Gawley, is going to come and bring a word of testimony. Come on ahead, Mary. May the Lord bless you.
Well, I would like to read a few verses. Romans 9, verses 9 to 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I was brought up in County Fermanagh, just outside a little village called Rosslea, and I had five sisters and two brothers, and we lived on a farm. We had a farm, and we're Church of Ireland, but my parents weren't saved, but we're taught to respect God's day. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We went to church on Sunday morning, and we went to the gospel hall in the afternoon. Then on Saturday morning, there was a little mission hall in the village run by the IEB, that's Irish Evangelistic Band. And a lady beside us used to bring us there on a Saturday morning. So the whole weekend was taken up with church and meetings and whatnot. And in those days, you didn't have any restrictions. You just piled everybody into the car. Sometimes there was more than one family in the car. And we heard the gospel there as well. So went to Rosslea Primary School. And being near the border, it was a bit challenging at times. There was an IRA campaign going on, and we were next door to the police station. Now, it was regularly attacked, but not so much during the day. It was mostly at night. And you could hear shooting and whatnot when you're in bed at night. So anyhow, got through school. We had scripted exams in school as well. In the primary school, somebody from the some of the ministers from the local area would have come in and asked us questions, and we had to get all dressed up for that. So then I went to Lisniski Secondary School. And after that, I went to work in Enniskillen. Now, one of my aunts was a nurse, and she came home from London because her parents were getting older, and she wanted to look after them. So I had to stay overnight where I was working because it was too difficult to travel. And I would spend quite a bit of time with her. There was also an IEB mission hall, funny enough, just convenient to where I was staying. And I would have went there at times, and there was a man called George Hamilton used to go there. And George used to ask me every time he saw me, was he saved? He walked about when he was asking you. And I don't know what I said, I probably said nothing. So anyhow, I got interested in what my aunt was doing. And I decided I wanted to be a nurse. I didn't get much encouragement from my work colleagues, but the boss was very supportive. I think she was glad to get rid of me because I wasn't showing any great business skills. So anyway, I started to prepare myself, and I applied to a couple of places, but I didn't get accepted. But one day I lifted the local paper, and there was an ad for pupil nurses for White Abbey Hospital. And I thought, this looks interesting, so I'll apply. So I applied, and I got an interview. And now, White Abbey was a long way from Enniskillen or Rosslea or whatever. So we got a lift with a lorry, my sister and I. One of my sisters came with me. And then, lo and behold, when we went to go home, he went home without us. So we were left in Belfast. We got home anyhow, we got a bus. We got home eventually. And I had an aunt who lived in Brookborough, and she went to her house, and my uncle was there, and he brought us home. My mother came out to meet us. It was about midnight before we got home. So anyhow, that was it. Anyhow, they came a mission to the IEB Hall in Rosslea, and the evangelist was a fellow by the name of Christy Irwin. He was a great preacher, and the Lord spoke to me at the mission, as he did to many others. I didn't do very much about it, but I left home sometime after that and came to Belfast, and we're all sort of gathered in a reception area, and two young girls came over to me, and one of them asked me, was I Christian? And I said, well, I was. I knew what she meant. She was trying to find out if I was saved. So she came after me sometime. She wasn't happy. I said I was, but she said she wasn't happy about that. So she came back again, and she said, well, when did you get saved? Oh, I says, I'm not saved, but I'd like to get saved. So she says, would you like to come and speak to our minister? So I went with her to speak to the minister. He was at that time the Reverend Sam Workman. He was a great evangelist, and he showed me how to get saved. Now, I know you shouldn't depend on your feelings, because we're saved by grace through faith. But I did feel a burden of sin lifted off me. I knew I was saved. I had no doubt about it. So that was the start of it, and start of my career, I should say. So then it was very regimental, the training, and you were watched everywhere you went. So we had good fellowship with Nurses Christian Fellowship, and with good fellowship, and I got through my training anyhow, and I left the hospital about 3 years later, and I went to over to London for a while, but I didn't really feel it was the right place for me to be. I felt the Lord was speaking to me, and he brought me home again anyway, and I after that, I came to the Ulster Hospital in 1973, and I didn't know what church I was going to go. I knew about the martyrs. I'd been there, and then I was on the ward one day, and this minister came in to visit one of the elders from the martyrs. He's with the Lord now, and I asked the man afterwards, well, who's that minister? Oh, he says, that's the Reverend David McElveen, and he's a real angel from heaven. So I thought it sounded good, so I came to the church a time or two, and wasn't really settled very much, but a little lady here used to sit with me, called Mrs. Morrison. She was one of the founder members, and then she introduced me to another couple called Hazel and Harry Woods, and everything went okay. I sort of settled down, and I started to come here. So I've been coming here ever since. And we're greatly blessed under Mr. McElveen, but we're very blessed under Mr. Wilson as well. We're very pleased to have him. We hope we'll be able to keep him for a while. So anyhow, I do thank God that I am saved and that he has kept me all these years. I do thank him. Amen.
Mary, thank you for that encouraging word of testimony and how the Lord has worked in your life. At this time, we're going to have another, don't know how to put this, video song from Jonathan Logan again. It'll be up on our wall. And we'll listen to Jonathan sing.
A human baby bearing on
Deidre would just like to send out a thank you to her brother Jonathan for sending in the videos tonight. We're going to sing once again. We're going to get plenty of singing out of you tonight, and you are going to be ready for your supper. So we're going to sing once again, and I know this is a firm favourite of everyone in Sandown. It's certainly a firm favourite of mine. We're going to sing, "Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me." The sing. Going to have at this stage of the meeting another couple of scripture readings. I'm going to ask our sister Paula Roberts and our brother Alan Bannister to come forth and read from God's word, please.
Good
The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the first days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord.
And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Amen.
Thank you, Paula, and thank you, Alan, for those scripture readings. At this point of the meeting, I'm going to ask the Rome Minister, Mr. Garth Wilson, to come and bring God's word to us.
John, can I just, before we read and bring God's word to close the meeting, take this opportunity to thank everyone who has taken part this evening. You've been blessed, I've been blessed by all who have taken part. I want to thank you all for your help this evening, to those who read, to our Sister Mary for testifying, to John for leading, to our musicians. Thank you all so much for your help tonight. We really want to thank you for that, and to you all for coming. We want to say thank you in the Saviour's name. I just want to leave one verse of Scripture as we bring this choral service to a close tonight, from John's Gospel, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Also want to thank Jonathan for sending in those videos. We were to have our brother Peter Mander, tonight, but he is unwell, and I know he would have loved to be here, but unfortunately he's just not too well at the moment, so you can remember Peter in your prayers, please. John chapter 6, just one verse I'll leave with you. Verse 38, John chapter 6 and the verse 38, For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. For I came down from heaven. Can we just still our hearts, please, in a word of prayer as we ask for his blessing upon us. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for all that has taken place already tonight. And O God, we pray that you be pleased to bless the readings of Scripture. Lord, bless the messages and song. Bless the word of testimony. And O God, we pray now that as we come, Lord, to the word of God for this time, that you'll come and speak to all of our hearts. Lord, we pray that this night you'll be pleased to, by thy Holy Spirit, take control. Lord, work in our hearts, we pray tonight. And Lord, may this be the night when some poor sinner will come to Jesus Christ, and at this Christmas time they'll receive the greatest gift this world has ever known. So bless us, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. There are, of course, many words and many terms that we could use to describe this Christmas season. But I think we would be hard-pressed to find a better description and a better summary of what Christmas really is than the words from the Savior himself here in the verse number 38 of John chapter 6, where he says, I came down. I came down. And folks, what a succinct summary. What a sufficient summary of Christmas this really is. I came down. And as we close our carol service tonight, I want us to look at these three simple words that I believe sum up the entire theme of Christmas. I came down. I want you to notice, first of all, the place that he came from. In verse 38, he says, I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven. And as we consider heaven, as we consider this place that Christ came from, I want us to consider, first of all, his preeminence in heaven. You see, Christ is the Son of God. He is God the Son. He is the preeminent one. He is the one who in heaven angels adore. He is the one who is worthy of all our adoration, worthy of all of our praise. He is the one in heaven who praise and glory is offered to. In Revelation chapter 5, we read that every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever. You see, the one who came down from heaven is the one who is worshipped and praised and glorified in heaven. He is the preeminent one. Not only his preeminence in heaven, but I want you to see as well his preexistence in heaven. Look at verse 38 again. He says, I came down. In other words, he had an existence before he came into this world. You see, before he came into this world, Christ was. He is the preexistent one. Bethlehem was not the beginning of Christ. It was the beginning of his earthly life, yes, but he existed before Bethlehem because Christ is the eternal Son of God. He is the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. You see, folks, that is so vital and so important in the whole realm and scheme of redemption. Christ could never be our Savior. There would be no hope this Christmas time, if Christ had not been the eternal Son of God from everlasting to everlasting. Christ lived before he was born. Christ existed before he was conceived of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. Christ was before anyone else was. And Christ in heaven lived, ruled, and reigned as the preeminent, pre-existent Son of God. You know, this Christmas time, our minds are often taken to the earthly realm, taken to the earthly aspect of Christ's life. But we must never forget that place that Christ came from. He came from a place of infinite splendor and majesty, a place of unspeakable beauty and unparalleled greatness. The hymn writer put it well when he said, down from his glory, ever-living story. You see, in a moment of time, in the fullness of time, and at the appointed time, Christ, the eternal Son of God, stepped out of glory, left the splendors of heaven behind, and left the adoration of the angels, and came down from heaven. What a mystery tonight. What a marvel that the eternal Son of God should leave the adoring praises of heaven and come down. We see not only the place he came from, but I want you to see as well the people he came to. The people he came to. Christ left heaven. He left the glory of heaven. He left the angels of heaven to come down. But who did he come to? Did he come down to a royal people, a regal people, a respectable people? In Luke 19, we read that Christ, Jesus Christ, came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ Jesus came down from heaven to save sinners. The people to whom Christ came to were sinners, those who were lost. They were, first of all, hopeless people. Paul describes the people to whom Christ came to, the people whom Christ left heaven for, as people having no hope. People without God in this world. And folks, that describes all of mankind. That describes you. That describes me tonight. We are without hope, without God by nature. And you see, what a tragedy that in the midst of all the celebration, in the midst of all the goings on of this season of the year, there are still many without hope. Celebrating Christmas without hope and without God. Is that you tonight? In this meeting without the Savior, you've no hope in this world. You've no hope in the world beyond the grave. You've no hope tonight. And yet the glorious message of Christmas is that Christ came to give you hope. He came to bring hope. At Christmas time, many are fearful, many sad hearts, many not looking forward to Christmas. Lives that are empty, lives that are meaningless, lives that are hopeless, but today there is a hope. Hope has a name, and that name is Jesus, the one who came down from heaven to a hopeless people. He not only came to hopeless people, but he came to a helpless people. Paul says, "For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us." The people to whom Christ came to were hopeless, but they were also helpless. You see, sinner, in this meeting tonight, you need to realize that you of yourself can do nothing to gain salvation. You can't do anything to gain heaven. You can't do anything to gain an acceptance with God. But Christ came into this world to give you hope and to give you help, gospel help. Spiritual help, because you're weak and you're helpless. And tonight you need Christ. You don't need a church tonight. You don't need a system of religion. You don't need a creed or confession. You need Christ. None but Jesus, none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. He came to a hopeless people, he came to a helpless people, but sadly as well, he came to a heedless people. The people to whom Christ came to took no heed of his coming. They rejected him, they disowned him, they refused him, they didn't want to acknowledge him. The scripture says that he came onto his own and his own received him not. And isn't that so descriptive tonight of our society? They want Christmas, but they don't want Christ. And many tonight will fail to heed the message of Christmas. They'll fail to heed the true meaning of what the season of the year is all about, what it reminds us about, that Christ came down from heaven. But I want you to see past a babe in a manger. I want you to see the man on the cross. Because as while Christ came into this world as a little babe, that he came in to go to the cross, to die for you, to save you from your sin. Oh, that tonight you would not disregard this message anymore. almost now at the end of another year. Oh, that tonight you wouldn't be heedless, but rather tonight that you would be obedient, heed that message, and run to Christ. What a tragedy it would be tonight that this Christmas carol service, if you were to ignore and fail to heed the real message of Christmas. Oh, sing the carols, but reject the Christ. Mary and Joseph, they found no room for Christ, nowhere to lay his head. And many across our city tonight have no room for the Savior. I wonder tonight, do you have room for him? The place he came from, it was heaven. And the people he came to, heedless, helpless, hopeless people. But finally, I want you to see the purpose he came for. Why did he come? Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He came down to do the Father's will. What's the will of the Father? What's the plan of the triune Godhead? It's the plan of redemption. Christ came into this world to fulfill redemption's plan. He came into this world with a purpose, and that purpose was to do the Father's will. That purpose was to redeem sinners, that tonight you might believe on him and be saved and have everlasting life. Christ came to redeem. He came to save. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why he came. Christ came from the glory of heaven to live in the humility of earth and then go to the agony of the cross. Christ was born to die. He came into this world to accomplish and to attain redemption, and that took him to the cross, to the agonies of Golgotha. And those little hands that laid in a manger would one day be nailed to a cross. That little face that looked into its mother's eyes would one day be disfigured and scarred by a crown of thorns pushed into his brow as he hung on the cross. And that little soft, tender skin would one day be cut open by the spear of a Roman soldier. Christ came down from heaven in order to save sinners and one day bring all those who would believe on him and his finished work on the cross home to heaven. Christ humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ came into this world to seek and to save. And in this meeting tonight, he is desiring to save your soul. He came to give you purpose. He came to give you meaning. Came to give you life. He came to Bethlehem to go to Calvary. He came from the heights of heaven to the humility of the earth, to the anguish of Calvary's cross. And the glorious message of Christmas is that Christ came down, and he came down to save you from your sin. And oh, that you tonight would see that little babe in the manger as your only Savior. Christ came to save you. He came to redeem you. He came to set you free. He came to give you life, real life, true life, life with meaning and purpose. Oh, will you not turn from your sin today? Will you not look away to Calvary? Will you not look to Christ? Another year almost over. Another year wasted in sin. Another year closer to a lost eternity in hell. Oh, come to Christ tonight. Christ came from heaven for sinners like you. He came from heaven to save you. He came that you might be saved and that you might live with him for all eternity. Tonight he offers you the greatest gift, the gift of eternal life, everlasting life, abundant life, life with purpose and life with meaning. He offers this to you tonight. That's why he came. Christ came down. The place he came from, heaven. The people he came for, you and me. The purpose he came for, to save us from our sins. Will you not come to him tonight? He who came into this world to save your soul. He came from heaven that at the end of this life you might go to heaven. But the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Are you ready tonight? Are you saved tonight? If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, make this the best Christmas. Make this the greatest Christmas. By giving your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Christ came down. Let's bow in prayer. In a few moments we'll hand back to John. But can I encourage you tonight to think about the messages and song you've heard, the Bible readings, the testimony. Christ came to give you life. Would you not have this life tonight? True life, eternal life. It's found alone in Jesus Christ. Will you not come to him? Give your heart and life to him this Christmas time and receive the greatest gift, the gift of his salvation. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray just now. Speak on, O God, we ask. And Lord, we pray tonight that you'll bring someone to thyself. See if someone in this meeting tonight, at this choral service tonight, as we rejoice and as we celebrate the birth of Christ, may we rejoice and celebrate in the new birth of some poor lost soul. Oh God, answer prayer. Bless thy word to our hearts. Continue with us now in the Savior's name we ask. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. And we're going to close now in the closing hymn. And what an appropriate hymn this is, O Holy Night. A hymn that tells us of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came into this world to seek and to save us from our sins. Let's sing it. And I know you've been singing well tonight, but let's sing it with all our hearts. Let's give it everything tonight for our last hymn. And we'll stand to sing. Thank you.
be standing for a closing prayer. Dear Lord and Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer once again this night. And Lord, we just think of that hymn we were singing, O Holy Night, and how you sent your Son into this sin-cursed world. This sin-cursed world just to save each and every one of us from our sin. And Lord, we just thank you tonight for every blood-washed, blood-bought soul in this meeting tonight. And Lord, we pray for those who are out of Christ and without a Savior here tonight. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, they'll take you as their own and personal Savior. They'll break down that hardened heart, Lord, and give that heart of flesh. And Lord, may not one person leave this meeting tonight not knowing that the Lord was with them, Lord. And just, Lord, touch each and every one of us this night. Be one with us, Lord. We thank you for each and every meeting this day, for the carol service this morning, and for the carol service over in Hollywood this afternoon, and here again tonight, Lord. And we just pray that, Lord, souls will be saved, but that young boys and girls, parents, those that come in here on a weekly basis who know not thee and leave without the Savior will know the Savior this night. So, Lord, be with us this night. Be with the Reverend Wilson. Guide him and strengthen him. Remember his dear family. Put that hedge of protection around them. And, Lord, we just ask that you take up our thanks for this food. Bless it to our bodies and take us home a little later safely to our homes, Lord. And just go before us and guide us and strengthen us, we pray. For we ask all these things in Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen.